Okay, so you know, we love to dig into these kind of like real estate puzzles on the show. And you sent over this case, Schulte v. City of Detroit, and I gotta say, it's a real head scratcher.
Oh yeah, this one's a classic. It really gets to the heart of what happens when you have competing claims to a property and how the law tries to figure out who has the strongest right.
Exactly. And in this case, it looks like we've got this concept of a bona fide purchaser, you know, someone who buys a property in good faith without any idea that there might be some hidden claim lurking out there.
Right, a BFP they're often called.
Here.
And the law gives them a lot of protection.
And this deep dive is all about how that protection for the BFP interacts with, you know, all those rules about recording property deeds. We're talking about a land sale, a city thinking they own an alley, and then this crazy same-day recording race.
Buckle up because it gets pretty wild.
It does. So our mission today is to figure out who ended up actually owning this property and why. And we want to pull out the important legal lessons here so anyone listening can understand the big picture stuff about property rights.
Because even if you're not buying real estate every day, these principles kind of underpin our whole system of ownership and transfer.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's rewind back to 1913. We've got a guy named Griffin, and he decides to give a strip of his land to the city of Detroit to be used as an alley. He signs a quit claim deed, which basically just means he's transferring whatever interest he has in that strip of land without making any big promises about whether the title is totally clear.
Right. It's different from a warranty deed where the seller is kind of guaranteeing that they have the full right to sell the property and there are no hidden problems with the title.
Okay, so that's our starting point. But here's the thing. This quit claim deed doesn't actually get recorded until 1914. So for a while, there's no official record of the city's interest in that alley.
And that right there is where things can get messy. The whole point of recording deeds is to give public notice. It's how you're supposed to find out who owns what. So if there's a delay in recording, it creates this gap where someone might buy a property without knowing about a prior claim.
Makes sense. Okay, so now it's April 1914. Griffin decides to sell the entire lot, including that alley strip, to a guy named Oliver Day. And the key here is that Day is considered a bona fide purchaser. He buys the property without any clue that the city thinks they own that alley. He did his due diligence, checked the records, and nothing showed up about the city's claim because they hadn't recorded their deed yet.
Exactly. It's acting in good faith. And the law really tries to protect buyers like that. You shouldn't be penalized for not knowing about something that wasn't properly recorded.
So Day thinks he owns the whole thing fair and square. Then he turns around and sells the entire lot to Schulte. And guess what? Schulte also doesn't know anything about the supposed alley belonging to the city.
So now we've got this chain of transactions and this hidden claim just sort of floating out there, completely unbeknownst to the current owner.
And here comes the real drama. On the very same day that Day sells the property to Schulte, the city of Detroit finally gets around to recording their 1913 quit claim deed for that alleyway. And get this, they managed to record it before Schulte records his deed for the whole lot.
Talk about a close call.
Seriously, it's like a photo finish in the world of property records.
And this is where the case really hinges. You've got the city with a claim that's earlier in time, right? Their deed was signed in 1913, and they even won this recording race, getting their deed on the books before Schulte. But then you have Oliver Day, who was a bona fide purchaser before all of this recording drama went down.
So it's like this clash of legal principles.
Exactly. And in Michigan at the time, it was what's called a race notice jurisdiction. Basically, that means that generally the person who records first has priority, but only if they also didn't have notice of any earlier claim. And that's where Day's status as a BFP really throws a wrench in things.
Okay, so years go by and we get to 1926. Now the city decides to start acting like they own the alley. But here's the kicker. All those years that Schulte owned the property, the city was also taxing him as if he owned the entire lot, including the alley.
It's almost like they wanted to have it both ways.
Right. It doesn't seem very fair.
Not really.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
you know, this inconsistency in the city's actions actually ended up playing a role in how the Michigan Supreme Court decided the case.
Okay, so the big question is, who has the better claim to that alleyway? Does the city win because they recorded their deed first? Or does Schulte win because he got his title from a bona fide purchaser who had no notice of the city's claim?
It's a tough one. The court had to weigh the importance of having a reliable recording system against the idea of fairness and protecting people who buy property in good faith.
And what did they decide?
Well, they sided with Schulte. They put a lot of emphasis on Oliver Day's status as that initial bona fide purchaser. They said that under Michigan law, when you buy a property in good faith without knowing about any other claims, you get a clean title.
So Day's good faith purchase kind of wiped away any problems with the title, even though the city recorded first.
Exactly. And the court pointed to some earlier cases, Godfrey v. Disborough and Shotwell v. Harrison, to support this idea.
Can you tell us a bit more about those cases?
Sure. Godfrey basically established this principle that a bona fide purchaser is protected against earlier claims that weren't recorded. Then Shotwell took it a step further and said that this protection also extends to anyone who buys the property from the BFP, even if they later find out about that earlier claim.
So it's like a chain of protection for anyone who buys from someone who bought in good faith.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It's called the shelter rule. And it's important because it means that a BFP can actually sell their property without that old hidden claim coming back to haunt the new buyer.
So the court basically said that because Day had a perfect title, he could pass that perfect title on to Schulte. And the fact that the city recorded their deed first didn't change anything.
Right. The key moment was when Day bought the property without any notice of the city's claim. Everything that happened with the recording afterward didn't really matter because Day's BFP status already cleared up any issues with the title.
And the court had some pretty strong reasons for deciding this way, right?
Absolutely. They were worried that if bona fide purchasers couldn't sell their property freely, it would create huge problems in the real estate market. Imagine if every time you wanted to buy a property, you had to worry about some ancient, unrecorded claim popping up and messing everything up.
Yeah, that would be a nightmare. No one would want to buy anything.
Exactly. It would bring the whole system to a standstill. So the court wanted to make sure that people who buy property in good faith have a clear and marketable title.
And they also brought up the fact that the city was taxing Schulte for the whole property as if he owned the alley too.
Oh yeah, that was a big point. The court basically said you can't claim to own the alley and then tax someone else for owning it. You can't have your cake and eat it too.
It's a pretty good analogy.
Right, it just highlights how inconsistent the city's actions were.
So what are the big lessons we can take away from all of this?
I think the main takeaway is that the law takes the concept of a bona fide purchaser very seriously. If you do your homework and buy a property without knowing about any hidden problems, you're in a very strong legal position. And that clean title can be passed on to others.
So it's not just about recording your deeds, it's also about making sure you're buying from someone who has a good, clear title in the first place.
Exactly. And I think this case really shows how the law tries to balance competing interests. On the one hand, you want a system where everyone knows who owns what, so you need clear public records. But on the other hand, you want to protect people who are acting honestly and in good faith.
And in this case, the court decided that protecting the bona fide purchaser was the most important thing.
They did. And it really highlights the importance of doing your due diligence as a buyer. But it also offers a level of comfort, knowing that the law is there to protect you if you do things right.
This has been a fascinating deep dive into Schulte v. City of Detroit. It really shows you how even a case from over 100 years ago can still teach us so much about the complexities of property law. And it makes you think about all the different factors that go into deciding who has the right to own a piece of property.
It does. It's a reminder that property rights are always evolving, and there's always a tension between individual rights and the need for a clear and fair system for everyone.
So for those of you listening, I'll leave you with this question to ponder. How do you think the law should balance the need for clear public records with the need to protect people who buy property in good faith? It's a complex issue with real-world consequences.
Thanks for having me. This is a great discussion.
Thanks for joining us.